Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for June 17th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Yung-Ho Bae and Richard Asoyan about a signaling pathway that cells use to respond to the stiffness of the extracellular matrix. Cells not only sense and respond to chemical cues in the environment or from neighboring cells, they can also respond to the physical properties of the substrate that supports them. The stiffness of the substrate can determine whether a cell proliferates or becomes quiescent, whether it migrates or stays put, and substrate rigidity can even determine the fate of multipotent cells. Sensing the stiffness of the extracellular matrix is how cells know where they are and how they should behave. A new study from Yung-Ho Bae and Richard Asoyan has identified a signaling pathway that cells use to convert information about substrate stiffness into decisions about cell proliferation. Bae and Asoyan spoke to me from the University of Pennsylvania's Perelman School of Medicine in Philadelphia. Welcome, Dr. Asoyan. Dr. Bae?
Thank you for having us.
Yung-Ho, how much does the stiffness of the extracellular matrix vary?
We have known for a while that tissue stiffness varies in different organs. The stiffness of normal mammary gland, liver, kidney, and lung ranges from several hundred to thousands of kilopascal. Skeletal muscle and bone, as you can expect, they are really stiffer, greater than a hundred of thousands of kilopascal. So when normal organs become diseased for various reasons, such as tumor formation, fibrosis, or high blood pressure, you can also see an increase in stiffness. For instance, healthy arteries are usually only a few kilopascals, so it's really soft. But diseased arteries are around 20 kilopascals, which means 10 times higher than a healthy artery. So in our paper, we use this healthy and diseased condition of arteries for investigating cellular functions.
How does the extracellular matrix at sites of tissue damage or disease or fibrosis differ from normal matrix in undamaged tissues?
Increase in tissue stiffness are common features of fibrosis-associated process, such as cardiovascular disease. So when a tissue stiffens in remodels the extracellular matrix and induced expression of several extracellular matrix proteins, such as collagen and fibronectin. So in general, stiff matrix can contribute to pathological cellular responses, such as increased migration and abnormal proliferation.
I will just add to that changes in the matrix stiffness in disease are actually very complicated processes. There are certain matrix proteins that make tissues stiffer. There are other matrix proteins that do not have those effects. And opposing the effects of changes in matrix synthesis, there are changes in the degradation rate of matrix components. And, you know, this whole complicated series of events about how tissues go from relatively soft to relatively stiffer is a, you know, very important area that we didn't study in this paper. We use a model system to mimic stiffness, but it's a very active area of investigation.
What molecular factors control matrix stiffness? Is it the identity of the proteins or the quantity of the proteins in the matrix?
It's actually both, and the third variable is the structure of the matrix component. For example, type 1 collagen, which is the major and most abundant collagen in most tissues, is what's called a fibrillar collagen, and it adopts a certain structure. Many studies, including ours, have indicated that it's not merely the abundance of type 1 or fibrillar collagens that determine stiffness, but whether that collagen is organized and structured in an appropriate way. And presumably, this is changing the way they activate integrins, which are the receptors for matrix proteins that transduce information into the cell. On the other side, there are proteins like elastin, which make arteries more compliant. And the relative balance of collagens and elastins are thought to be the principal components of tissue stiffness.
The stiffness of the extracellular matrix can affect cell behavior, whether a cell migrates or proliferates. What's the system that you used in this study to investigate the effects of extracellular matrix stiffness on cell behavior.
So in our paper for in vitro experiment, we utilized engineered extracellular matrix called polyacrylamide hydrogels with tunable stiffness that we used to mimic in vivo physiological and pathological microenvironment.
And so what sorts of cells did you use in that system, and what cell behaviors were you assaying?
We used two different cell lines. One is mouse embryonic fibroblast. The other one is primary smooth muscle cell. So we basically sit the cell on two different conditions of hydrogel and collect the protein or mRNA to do Western blotting and qPCR to monitor the induction or phosphorylation of mechanosensing focal adhesion proteins or cell cycling proteins. And we also measure the cellular stiffness by using atomic force microscopy.
How do those cell types respond to substrates of differing stiffness?
So in mouse embryonic fibroblast and smooth muscle cell, we have similar behavior. Cells proliferate on stiff, not on soft gel.
In response to being put on a stiffer substrate, the cells proliferate. How do the cells sense that substrate and then translate that information into the decision whether or not to proliferate?
So that is the main question that we addressed in our paper. So we found that a pathway consisting focal adhesion kinase and the adaptive protein P130Cas and RAG selectively transduce extracellular matrix stiffness into stable cellular stiffness. So it also increased the abundance of the cell cycle protein and promoted S-phase entry. In addition, we found that RAG-dependent intracellular stiffening involved a binding partner called amylopodin, which is a protein that transmits RAG signals to the cytoskeleton during cell migration. So our finding established that mechanotransduction by this signaling molecule, focal adhesion kinase, Cas, RAG, amylopodin, not just by single protein, converts the external information encoded by extracellular matrix stiffness into stable cellular stiffening, as well as mechanosensitive cell cycling.
When cells sense the stiffness of the extracellular matrix, that's ultimately transduced into the stiffness of the actin cytoskeleton. And that's how you go from outside stiffness to intracellular stiffness. The actin cytoskeleton has been generally broken down into two kinds of features, one being what's called cortical actin, which goes around the periphery of the cell, and the other being stress fibers, which are thought to go across the cell. The common thinking is that stress fibers are what is regulating intracellular stiffness, and that's probably true, but the surprising thing that came out of Young Ho's study is that at least for sensing stiffness towards the cell cycle, it is the cortical actin and not so much the actin stress fibers that seem to be the critical component in transducing that signal.
The cell senses the stiffness of the extracellular matrix and transforms that into stiffness of the cytoskeleton inside the cell. How does the cell sense the stiffness? What's the connection between the cell and the extracellular matrix? I know you said integrins are involved.
Yeah, so it's a complex group of molecules, one of which are integrins, which are transmembrane receptors for matrix proteins. But associated with integrins are a complex of dozens of what are called focal adhesion proteins. And the integrins recruit certain members of those focal adhesions, activate them through a complicated set of pathways, and then that ultimately transduces the signal towards actin.
So it's the focal adhesion proteins that are connected to the extracellular matrix through their interaction with integrins.
Yes, and the proteins that were identified in this study, it was focal adhesion kinase and P130Cas, are selective. So the idea is that all focal adhesion proteins are not doing the same thing, but there seem to be subsets of focal adhesion proteins that may have different jobs. And the pathway from integrin to focal adhesion kinase to P130Cas to RAC, all of which are in the focal adhesion, those seem to be preferentially important for transducing stiffness to the actin cytoskeleton and to the cell cycle.
In these studies, you used fibroblasts and vascular smooth muscle cells in vitro in a system where you could manipulate the substrate stiffness in order to mimic extracellular matrix substrates of different stiffness. How do these in vitro results translate to an in vivo context?
Our starting point on these studies has been in vivo, where we use atomic force microscopy of isolated arteries to measure the stiffness of healthy and diseased arteries. Then we get those stiffness values and design these deformable, tunable substrata to match those. So when we place cells on our hydrogels, we know that they are being placed on a substratum that is modeling the changes in stiffness that are happening in vivo. So that's going from in vivo to in vitro, and that's why we use vascular smooth muscle cells isolated from the mouse, because our stiffness measurements of arteries are done in the mouse. And then we do the mechanistic analysis in vitro, and then to confirm the validity of that mechanism, we go back into the mouse, and by deleting genes in the mouse that we have identified as important from our mechanistic analyses, those mouse deletions can then be used to show that the pathway we identified in cells is actually happening during the proliferative response in a mouse.
And these results that you found about this particular signaling pathway that transduces extracellular matrix stiffness into cytoskeletal stiffness also does indeed appear to be functioning in vivo in the mouse?
Yes, because, for example, the in vitro studies identified the Rho-GTPase-RAC as being a major player in the way that cells receive information and stiffen their cytoskeleton. So to validate that, we deleted RAC genetically from the smooth muscle cells of adult mice and induced a proliferative response to injury and showed that in the absence of RAC, those smooth muscle cells in vivo were unable to proliferate, exactly as we saw in vitro.
So you do these experiments in vitro on a hydrogel that's deformable and tunable, so you can change its stiffness based on how you make the hydrogel. What all is in the hydrogel? Does it have the same proteins that are in a natural extracellular matrix, the same proteins that would act as ligands for the integrins on the cells?
With the hydrogel, we coated with the extracellular matrix protein. In our study, we used fibronectin. Also, people use collagen as coating.
The hydrogel is a very simplified system, which is based on polyacrylamide, the same that people use for, you know, Western blot gels, but in the absence of SDS. And then we generate those gels with a cross-linker and then can add the fibronectin or any other matrix protein on top of that hydrogel. So there's not a complicated protein mixture in that in vitro setting the way there is in vivo.
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering about, how closely you try to mimic the mix of proteins that are in there, because one would think that the cells might respond differently if they have only one ligand present as opposed to having multiple ligands present.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about in the beginning, that the actual ways that tissues stiffen is a very complex balance of altered synthesis and altered degradation and differential expression of collagens and elastin, and our studies have not tried to model that. But you could say, the proof is in the pudding, that when you take these simplified model systems based on just fibronectin-coated hydrogels and get data and then test it in the mouse responds in a way that is consistent with what we see in vitro.
Young Ho, Richard, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me.
That was Young Ho Bae and Richard Asoyan discussing a paper published in the June 17th issue of Science Signaling by Bae and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any questions or comments, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.